Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Bob Surratt.
I am the morning DJ.
7:39, when we last spoke with digital strategist Scott Kleinberg, we talked about social media algorithms. And today Scott's going to tell us about how changes to Facebook's algorithm could change your experience. Scott, how you doing? Tell us what's happening.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, sure. So, well, you know, Facebook, it's always on the hunt for new ways to improve how the news feed operates. And it's planning this new round of changes, which include things like user surveys, reactions, which are, you know, those faces that you click on to tell how you feel about what you're looking at, and good old-fashioned feedback. So depending on what they find out, it could either change the things that you see in your feed a little or a lot.
So you're saying each of these things, surveys, reactions, feedback, will help guide Facebook to what appears in our feed?
Yeah. Actually guide and inform. The way I like to explain it is Facebook really needs to ask a few billion people if they like what they're seeing. And since there's no way to please everyone, this exercise helps them feed data into the algorithm. So, for example, for a survey, and that's a tool that Facebook has used for many years now, you may be prompted to answer some questions about your experience. For reactions, Facebook is going to rely heavily on the angry face emoji. And for feedback, it could be a question at the top of the feed or the ability to click an X to signal that you're dissatisfied with something that you're seeing. You have to remember also that Facebook and pretty much any other social media company, they're always testing multiple options. So it's a lot like what Forrest Gump's mother said. You never know what you're going to get.
Why the angry face emoji? Why that one?
That's a good question. That caught my eye, too. I think it's because Facebook wants to know what's making us mad. So if you think about, you know, politics, they've been so divisive for us as a nation, and that's really felt in a big way on social media. So if Facebook can find out what upsets us, they can offer less of it. And there was a test going on that you and I talked about a while back where Facebook actually said that they were going to remove all political content from some users' feeds because they wanted to see what kind of impact that would have on the overall experience. And the important point is algorithms are only good as the data that's fed into them. So the more content and the more people that are using the Facebook, the more data that's needed.
So looking ahead and assuming all of these tests are done, we fill out a survey, we click a few X's, then what? How does that become part of what we see?
That's also a good question. The short answer is it can take time because, you know, changes may not seem that apparent. But eventually what Facebook will do is they'll use all these responses somehow and they'll stir it into this big pot of what I call algorithmic soup. And we'll see it trickle down. You know, you might see fewer political posts if you responded to them with an angry face. If you repeatedly hit the X on something that came up about a certain topic, chances are, you know, you'll see a lot less about that topic. Maybe you'll see nothing at all on that topic. Even though everything we do in social media informs algorithms in a certain way, you can consider this exercise the fine-tuning of that.
Okay. Before we leave the subject of Facebook, is tomorrow the day they rule on whether Donald Trump gets to be on Facebook again?
It is supposed to be the day, and the thing that is so interesting about that is they're calling this, you know, the Facebook Supreme Court. And much like the Supreme Court, the real one, when people are waiting for decisions to come down, they always say, tomorrow's the day, and then it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I have my Outlook reminder set, and I'm hoping that it actually happens. It is supposed to happen this week.
Any prediction? You have any idea? What they'll do? This is the oversight board, right?
Yeah, this is the oversight board. You know, it is so hard to say because it's so divisive. My gut tells me that they're going to reverse Facebook's decision only because they've been reversing so many of Facebook's decisions. But again, in this case, there is so much outside pressure that even though they say that they're not impacted by the outside pressure, I'm having a hard time believing that they're completely voided of that. Mm-hmm. So I am still not 100% sure, but that's just kind of the way my gut's been going.
Talking to social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and let's turn to Pinterest now. We've talked about this before, and Scott, you have info on what people are searching for. Remind us again why this is so useful.
Sure, Bob. So Pinterest does these trend surveys every now and again to take the pulse of users surrounding certain events. So as the pandemic started last year, we learned from Pinterest a lot about staying home habits. Now that the vaccines are here, Pinterest is looking at what we're thinking about as we approach the other side of the pandemic.
So what did they find?
Well, here are a few examples, and I want to tell you some you'd probably expect and some, you know, maybe not so much. So first off, people are really tired of not going anywhere fun, which makes sense. Searches for vacations are up, but here's the telling part. Not just any old vacations, but luxury vacations and dream vacations. So searches for the word luxury, the term luxury vacation, 6 times higher than it was previously, the previous survey. And that number is 13 times higher for the search phrase dream vacation destination. Searches for vacation fashion are way up, as are travel tattoos. Now, I had to look up travel tattoos. Apparently, people sometimes buy the ultimate souvenir if they want to remember a really good vacation, and they do that in permanent ink. So in this case, I think tattoo searches are probably a combination of, yes, looking for places to go, but also ways to keep busy.
I guess. And, you know, that jives with what we're hearing about the cruise business, for example. And apparently people are booking these luxury cruises for next year in huge numbers. Any other things stand out?
Well, searches for parties, they're way up, 64% higher from November 2020 to March of this year. I would assume that's because in November we were hearing about vaccines coming to market soon, and in March the appointments for vaccines started opening up, so that time frame makes sense. Searches for backyard dinner party are up, as are ones for party food buffet. And, you know, when I read that, I was thinking, I realize you have to serve dinner somehow at this backyard party, but I'm not sure I'm ever going to be ready for another buffet.
Oh, you can do it safely. I'm all in with Twitter and Facebook and playing around with LinkedIn, but Pinterest, do I need to be a Pinterest person? I don't know that I really get that yet. What can you tell me about Pinterest?
You know what I'll say? When people ask me if they should be on Pinterest, it really honestly depends on the need that you have for it. So do you need to be on it? No. But what I would say about Pinterest is the things like this, these surveys, to me, these are just so fascinating. This insight into what people are thinking is so apparent when you look at these things, this vacation thing and the way people are like, I haven't been on vacation in so long, so I'm going to take a dream vacation. Like, you really get insights into people. So for me, even if you're not using Pinterest in the way that it was intended, which are to save collections and all these things, you can still use it to learn what people are searching for, and maybe the things that you end up searching for could end up making it into these surveys somehow.
I guess. All right, now for my Genius Bar problem. Okay, listen to this, Scott. I'm exchanging emails with someone, and then in the third or fourth email, I get an attachment in this email, and I'm on my phone, I'm on my iPhone, and I open up the attachment, look at it, and then figure, well, I'll need this later, so I'll go back and print this later. And then when I went back some hours later to the various emails that were in the chain, and I went to find the attachment again, and it wasn't there, and it wasn't, or at least it wasn't in the same form. It indicated like PDF or something. I don't know, but I couldn't click and read the attachment anymore. It seemed to have vanished. What happened? And how do I get it back?
That I can actually, that I know the answer to. So what you're talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're talking about is you have an email thread. You got the attachment, you did whatever you did to it, you came back to these emails, and you look for the attachment.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, when you've replied to someone, when you reply to someone that sends an attachment, the attachment doesn't go back to that person because there's no reason to send it back to the person who sent it. So what that means is when you're going back to look at it, you're not going back to the most original email, which is where the attachment started. So if you have a thread of, let's just use that as an example, if you have a thread of 5 email responses, you need to go back to the very original email that came to you to see the attachment, or you need to go into the sent folder and you need to see, well, you would have to send that email by yourself, so never mind that. You'd have to go back to the first email that was sent to find the attachment. If you look at the thread the way I think you're looking at it, you're going to see evidence that there was an attachment.
Right.
It'll say something at the bottom like attachment dot, like you're talking about, dot PDF, but it's not actually there. So the answer to the question is make sure you're referencing the very first email that came in that thread, and you'll see the attachment there.
Exactly. And is that going to happen on a phone or a laptop?
Yes, that is. And that's a really interesting distinction. What you're talking about is not like a Gmail thing or an iCloud thing or whatever kind of email you're using. It's just by design, it's always how email has been. Because if you think about it, if you hit reply and attachment traveled back every single time back and forth, that's all that would be happening on the internet. Attachments would just be bouncing back and forth like ping pong balls. There has to be a way to control that. So, yeah, that's going to be no matter where you are.
You are a genius. Scott Kleinberg, appreciate it as always. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Bob. Thank you.